Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up. I am Maggie Morgan, and with me today, as always, is the incomparable, the incredible, the absolutely fabulous Jacob Jones. How are you doing today, Jacob?
Hi, baby gorgeous. I'm doing amazing. I am doing really well right now. I just moved to New York last week.
Welcome.
I know we talked about it last week because we thought that there was going to be an episode last week, but there wasn't because Bravo wanted to throw Portia's Family Matters on, which I'm not a huge Portia fan in Atlanta, and so I wasn't really having it. But so that's why Real Housewives of Salt Lake City was not on last week, because Bravo wanted to screw with the amazingness of this episode and prolong it a little bit, which I'm not mad about because it was top tier. But yeah, I'm doing amazing. I'm excited to talk to you and our special guest today.
I know. I'm so excited. So last week when we thought Jacob wasn't going to be here, we were going to have our guest today, Evan, come on and talk to us. He was going to help me co-host. But now Jacob actually gets to meet him and talk to him, too. So we're really, really excited to have him. He's the reason that I got into the show. He's the one who turned me on to it. We
love used to live together. On.
Yeah, of course, Jacob. All right. Evan and I used to live together, and now he lives across the street from me. But we still watch the episodes together when he's in town. And welcome to the podcast, Evan Duff. How are you, Evan?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you both for having me. Yeah, I love The Housewives. So this is like a dream come true to get to like talk about it. Yeah.
Is this like a wet dream?
In a way.
Careful now, Jacob. Careful. He's literally been on the podcast for 2 minutes. Like, I have the timer.
I know.
And you're talking about wet dreams with him. Come on. Let's slow down at least a little bit.
Literally.
Okay. So, Evan, obviously, I know the story about how you got into Housewives, but do you want to share with Jacob and the listeners, like, sort of what brought you in, how you got into Salt Lake City and all of that?
Yeah. So, you know, in the pandemic, we were all sort of like binging things in quarantine. And so I started watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And just got really hooked and was just obsessed and couldn't believe that I had not watched Housewives before. So I was binging like all of Atlanta. And then my friend Cameron, who I believe was on this podcast.
He was, yes.
He said, Evan, there's this amazing new franchise called The Housewives of Salt Lake City. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch that. You know, I don't know if that's really my vibe. And I am actually ex-Mormon. So Salt Lake and Mormon culture I grew up in and have my own sort of like history with. So I thought it might be like weirdly triggering or something. And then I started watching it and I was like, actually, I find the show healing and deeply, deeply unhinged in the best way possible. And yeah, it's literally just like one of my favorite shows of all time. And so, yeah, I started watching Salt Lake and I'm obsessed with it. And then I moved to Potomac and now I'm also working my way through New York.
Oh, Potomac.
Potomac's great.
Potomac. I have to ask you, since you did bring up Atlanta, you started watching Atlanta first. Atlanta has my heart, has my whole body and my soul, and takes up a lot of my brain space. I only follow Atlanta housewives. So random and so funny. I only follow two from Atlanta, and then that's it for the housewives. I follow three.
But who do you follow?
Kenya Moore, because she's the absolute best housewife there ever was. Candy Burris from Atlanta, and then Candace Dillard from Potomac.
Okay. Yes. I love Candace.
Wait. So who are your faves from Atlanta and Potomac?
I love Nene. I think she's just like perfect TV. Like,
she's an institution at this point. Like, yes. When you think of housewives, you think of Nene.
She's in the Smithsonian.
Yes, I did. Yes. I saw that.
She's in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I love Nene. I also love Kim Zolciak in like the weirdest way. I find her. The more unhinged the person is, and like the more unaware of how ridiculous that the person is, that they like don't know how crazy they are, I love that the most. So I really love Kim Zolciak. I also love Portia. I really just love all the women in Atlanta. Like,
but you said every name almost instead of besides Kenya.
I like Kenya.
Okay.
I think Kenya is great TV. She has always, to me, seemed, she's like too smart for it. Like, I feel like I can clock her making moves for the show. Whereas, and I think a lot of the women do that who are on the show. But I think Kenya is just not great at hiding. Like, I'm going to put a plot line out. You know what I mean?
But she also doesn't hide from the fact that she is the pot stirrer. She is the one throwing, you know, doing the stuff to create a show. And that's what I really like about her. Amongst her incredible storyline, you know, of dating, of baby, of married, of divorce, of everything like that. But she also knows how to produce The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And she never backs away from conflict. And she doesn't try to hide her hand. Like, I feel like a certain housewife on this franchise does, which irritates the hell out of me, because if they own it, then I would stand them as much as I stand Kenya Moore. But I just hate the, okay, I'm gonna put this in, but I'm gonna, like, if someone,
Jacob, like, what are you talking about?
Literally.
Jacob, don't come for me.
I
always keep everything straight. I'm a New Yorker. Okay?
I know you're a New Yorker, yeah. So but if that certain housewife did what Kenya has been doing for many years, I would stand the hell out of them. But yeah, I always go on this tangent about this certain housewife from Salt Lake City, because it's just this specific thing that she does that I hate. But yes. Okay. Nice to know. Nice to know, Evan. I'm still pissed that you didn't list Kenya Moore in that lineage of people, but I will bypass that because I'm excited to hear your takes on this episode.
Okay.
I want you to share, Evan, like, who your favorites are in the Salt Lake City franchise. Like, who are you always like, who's your favorite? Like, who would you want to hang out with? And also who, like, when they're on the screen, you're like, yes.
And who are you like?
So Heather and Whitney are. Who do I know?
And who are you like? No to.
Okay. Yes. Sorry, I had a glitch. So Heather and Whitney are by far, I mean, those are just like my ride or dies personally. I think the fact that they're both ex-Mormon and a lot of their storyline from season one, I just really connected with. They were both in sort of different parts of their transition out of Mormonism. And I found just listening to them and getting to know their stories and their life so fascinating. I think Heather is just like, who, like, everyone should have a friend like Heather. I think she's just
totally agree.
Mm-hmm. And I think Whitney to me is just like, I love that she like rebelled against the church and like has really found a way to live life on her own terms. And so, yeah, I love Jen. I love Mary. I love Lisa. I love Meredith. I really do love like all these women. Obviously, like Jen and Mary, I would say are probably like a no for people that I would want to be like in a room with. But in terms of like, watching them on TV, like, give me all of it. Like, I'm hoping that Jen actually, like, weirdly, I'm like, I hope she like doesn't have to go to jail because like it's just magical TV, honestly, to have her there.
Oh, I'm like, team lock her ass up.
Jacob's team clink clank. But in the trailer, like she's like at the pool party. Like they have the mid-season trailer at the end. It's like Jenna's hanging out with them at a pool party. I'm like, what is going on? How did she weasel her way back into being invited to the pool parties? Like I thought for sure we would get a couple awkward dinners and like, you know, a lot of scenes with her just like one off with each of the women as they like basically yell at her and are like, how could you have done this? But like she's like sipping a mojito at the pool. I was like, what's going on here?
When I saw that, I was so happy. And I saw a couple of tweets that were echoing this point. And this is why when they put out the mid-season trailer, I was a fan of it. And I was a fan of these women specifically because they all know how to make a storyline and move past a storyline and continue a new storyline. And I feel like making this entire season revolving around Jen Shaw's arrest would have honestly tanked the season, because I don't think she's always going to deny. She's going to say she's not guilty, and we're going to fall on that story, and they're going to continue pressing, and we're not going to get anywhere. Right. And that's how I feel as though Beverly Hills did this season, because it's kind of the similar thing where one of the housewives was going through a legal battle and the women were just harping on that. And the woman that was going through it wasn't budging and we didn't get anywhere. And I like that they had that storyline. They're still in the storyline, but they're also cultivating new storylines to play out on the show, like i.e. getting Mary ass together. Yeah. Some of the ladies. And so I love that.
I completely agree. Like, how wild is it that 2 episodes ago we watched Jen get arrested, and last night Evan texted me and said this is the best episode of the season. Like, how is this? I thought for sure we were going to be like on a hangover. That's why, like, when we lost last week too, and we lost the momentum, I was honestly a bit like, oh gosh, like I bet you that we're going to have to like really bring up the energy for the podcast. But I wanted to talk about it for hours after we saw it. Like, I have so many thoughts about what we just saw. And just one more thing I wanted to ask you, Evan, before we dove in, like, how did you react to the arrest episode? Like, what were your thoughts on all of it?
I think Bravo really should have thought long and hard about showing footage of Jen's sons mm-hmm. being taken out of the house. Yep. I cannot believe in 2021 that was something
yep.
Shown on a show that, on a show like Housewives, you know what I mean? It's like, we can't show footage like that without, it's not the show that can show footage like that and take care of it. And so it left such a like weird taste in my mouth. And also just like, all of the women's reactions are just like, so like startling. Like, why does Whitney know so much about like fraud? And like, it's Heather just getting off of the bus to be like, what's going on? You know what I mean? There's like the amount of like, sort of like white privilege in that, even of like, it was, I mean, I love the fact that all it took was one moment. And now all of these opinions of each other, you know, they don't trust each other all the same. And I think that's what made this episode so great, is that now they're finally starting to be really real about, you know, the issues maybe that they've always had with each other. You know, I think this arrest has done great things for their relationships, I think.
I like that's the first point that you touched on about why would Bravo air that. I was so pissed. I was pissed at Bravo, but I was also so pissed at Jen for offering that footage up, because there's no way that Bravo could go into Jen's home and, hey, you have to give us that. It's in your contract to have my ring footage. No, absolutely not. She did that for a check, and it literally sickened me. That's why I'm like, please, police, I will direct you to Jen Shaw's house to make that arrest, to knock on the door and to go grab her. I was so disgusted at that clip. And so I loved your breakdown of that, because Bravo isn't the network to take care of a scene like that, of a moment like that.
Yes.
At all. And I hope that they talk about, I hope that Jen says why she gave them the footage. I hope that Bravo taps on to like why that footage was even aired, because everyone, well, not everyone probably, but a lot of people watching just via Twitter and things like that were like this was the most like heartbreaking thing to see. Why would they show that X, Y, and Z? And I was just like, same, sis, same.
I think that there's this reunion that they're going to have is going to have to be like four parts. Like, I mean, after this episode, no, I saw a ton of memes that were like,
it better not be no four parts.
I saw this meme today of someone, like, they tweeted at Lisa, like, that "you in danger, girl" thing about her at the reunion. And Lisa Barlow replied and said, "I'll be fine. I can handle myself." So, like, I don't know what's going on, but.
No, Lisa's ass is definitely in the hot seat. Like, Mary has no friends other than Meredith. Like, I feel like, who is she sitting next to unless she's sitting all the way at the end and Meredith is sitting second seat to Lisa when she's sitting first seat? But this reunion is going to be crazy. They're all bickering with each other. Social media isn't helping the case and it's going to be electric and I cannot wait for that reunion.
I mean, nobody has been more transparent than Lisa Barlow this episode. And you know, if you... podcast listeners, Evan knows, Jacob knows, I love me some Lisa Barlow, but I was literally scoffing at her this episode, rolling my eyes, like, please, like, should we just into it here? Yes, like, should we just start? Yes. Okay. So we start where we left off, which is Heather pushing Lisa to tell the facts of what happened with her friend Cameron. And, you know, she says he mortgaged his house and gave her $300,000. And then they have B-roll footage of Lisa and Cameron at lunch talking and he's telling her. And that was the moment when I said, okay, Lisa Barlow, because she has been all over Twitter being like, well, because apparently Cameron has passed away, which is very sad. And she has like taken up the torch on Twitter that nobody should be talking poorly about Cameron because he is now passed on. But my thing is about all of this is that, yeah, at the Fresh Wolf event, you know, they're like, you shouldn't have brought him in the episode. They're like, you shouldn't have brought him to the Fresh Wolf event. She's like, oh, I'm sorry that he's on the board of foster care for Utah State.
Maggie,
I'm sorry. But one, he was mic'd up for the event, first of all. And even if you want to say that, when I saw that B-roll footage of Cameron in his sunglasses and in a restaurant talking about what Mary did to him, I said, oh, so it's a setup. So we've been bamboozled. So Lisa Barlow is a liar.
I wasn't bamboozled. I always knew that the setup was in place. And I kept saying that Lisa Barlow perfectly put him in that scene to interact with Meredith. And it was going to be Whitney if her ass would have showed up to work that day. And to get that scene of Lisa Barlow saying, oh no, I want to push this storyline further, and to actually film a scene with Cameron, camera crew there, Lisa knows what she's doing. And this is why she irks the living shit out of my butt, Maggie. And this is why at times when you stand her, I can get the standation of the situation. But also I'm like, how can you not be so frustrated with, like, she did it multiple times this episode and we can get to it later on. But when she said, oh no, what are you mad? Why are you mad at me? He's on the board. Oh, I can't control if he goes up to Meredith. Yes, you can, because you're putting him on this show. You know what you're doing. He has to sign.
He has a mic. He has a mic. Come on.
She your sis. She your good sis. So I'm going to let you drag her. I want you to pick up that torch this episode.
I mean, Evan, do you have thoughts?
Lisa wants to be, I think after the first season, Lisa realized that she did not put herself forward in the best light, because like Lisa was not my favorite at all in the first season. And so I think she really wants to be like queen bee of this whole group. What is crazy about Lisa is how wickedly transparent she is and her ability to deny it over and over and over again. And like, when I was like, oh, you might be like a little bit of a psychopath, was her getting up from this like talking shit on Mary, like getting upset with the women, then going to Mary to be like, I want to make sure that I'm cool and good with you. It's like, wait a second. Like, you were the one who basically dropped this bomb and now you're trying to clean it up. And so basically it's like, it's like classic manipulative behavior of like, get everybody alienated and hating each other but me. So then I'm the only connector that keeps people together. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. What I will say about Lisa is I don't think that it's that intense in her brain. I think Lisa, like you said, wanted to be Queen Bee and is desperate to be the number one person to everybody. So it's not about, you know, dividing. It's about wanting in every single room that she's in every single conversation for it to revolve around her. So when she was saying all of this stuff, you know, that he mortgaged his house and stuff, and Meredith did not give her the reaction that she wanted, and she realized that she was going to get told on to Mary, and that people weren't all going to, like, you know, point their metaphorical arrows at Mary, she was like, oh shit, I have to get in front of this. So she literally got up and said, I'm going to bed, and walked her ass downstairs and sat in front of Mary, because she was like, I need to get in front of this. I need to control this narrative. And it worked. The next day when they're all talking about it and they're like, well, didn't you hear what Mary said about you, or what Lisa was saying about you? And Mary was like, yes, we already talked about it. It's fine. Like, Lisa just so clearly, like, I just think that the reason that I stan her is because I understand her. I do. And it was totally a moment where she said that thing about Cameron in front of everybody, thinking that she was going to get clout from it in the group. Like, she got excited to share the secret, and she was going to be like the grand madame of the circle because she was sharing the secret. And then once the secret was out there and she sat with it for 5 minutes and she realized she shouldn't have opened her damn mouth, she immediately went into damage control mode and tried to figure out how to make it make herself not feel like the bad guy, even though she did the bad thing.
Exactly. And Mary later on this episode was like, oh, I can't be manipulated. Well, clearly you can. And clearly, oh, Lisa girl got you way together. And I'm so, everything you said, Maggie and Evan, I'm 100% here. I drag Lisa Barlow every episode, every podcast. And I'm so glad I'm not the only one, because like the eyes are being open to what she's doing. And for me, it's just hard to connect and like someone that does it in such a, like, we see you. Like, don't lie to us, you know, in your confessionals. Can you please, like, I'm not going to admit shit to these women, but like, I want you to be honest with us, the people watching, you know. And that's what just frustrates the hell out of me. And Mary, you pissed me off this whole episode in a major part. And like 90% of the episode, you pissed me off. 10% of the episode, I had sympathy for you. But one thing that I did like, in regards to Mary, was the way that Meredith, like, I like Meredith and Mary's friendship or alliance or whatever, because I don't think it's an authentic friendship. I think it's one for the show, because I can't see those, you know, women hanging out and having a good kiki out really outside. So I think it's just for the show. But I did like that Meredith stood up for Mary and was like, I'm done talking about this. She's my friend. She's never done anything to me. Very irate, very irrational, very. But I like that. I like Meredith standing up. I like when Meredith goes to 10, she goes to 10. And I would like a couple, like, I would like from, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, instead of just 1 to 10. Meredith is very weird like that. She has no steps in between. It's just either high or very low.
I also think, I mean, not for nothing, Meredith was fucked up. Like, I think she was drunk. They were all drunk, you know? Like, I think that she was, and that's also part of, I mean, like, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but like, I saw online, like, a lot of people, because I was like so pumped to talk about the episode. I literally went on the Housewives Reddit. Like, that's how intense I got in preparation for this. But people were like, I don't understand why Meredith is defending Mary so much. And I have maintained, I thought it was just because of Brooks. Like, I thought that Mary had been a good friend to Brooks when he was going through the Jen stuff, so she had a safe, like, a spot in her heart for her. But I also think that maybe they just, like, understand each other on, like, a different level, just because of the, like, the way that they conduct themselves. Like, both of them feel that they are, like, above, you know, like both of them like are like, well, I am not immature like these women. Like I am not, I will tell you if I like, and I think that they respect that about one another. No,
and
like
they we did see Meredith say later in the episode that Mary was one of the only people to not get into the drama and the messiness when they were spreading the rumors about her and Seth in the first season. So I think that went a long way in Meredith's mind in regards to Mary.
I feel like it must be a very different thing to be in the room with Mary than to watch her on a TV screen. And I think that these women are scared shitless of her. There is no like, the things coming out of Meredith's mouth were just so preposterous. She said at one point around the like fire, she was like, the word religious trauma is just so, that doesn't even make sense to me. I'm like, you live in Utah. You know what I mean? You're surrounded by religious trauma, and you're also in a friend group with two people who have left the church and had many conversations with you about what those words mean. So that's bullshit. Something about Mary is terrifying enough that Meredith also had, I think, the same, you know, sort of realization that, oh, this could get back to Mary. Because Lisa, you know, Lisa leaves. I think I think they're just really afraid of Mary. I don't understand why, because I feel like she doesn't really have the sort of like power in the group that they think she has. But they have to be afraid of her, because how do you, obviously they've all been hearing things, and like we've all seen, you know, the tape of her yelling at her parishioners about calling them poor, all these different things. Like, you know, she's a poster child for what we think of when we think of you know, pastors of mega churches who have all this money and live in opulence while their parishioners are starving. So it's like, what about Mary are they're just fighting to not ever hold her accountable for it, to the point where they will say all of these things and then be afraid that they said them out loud and then try and go back on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. There has to be something in the presence of Mary that's not conveying over the screen, because I'm oftentimes like, how, Whitney, you let her talk to you like a dog on the street. How have you not called her a B word or any type of vocabulary other than a child of God? Every name, every vernacular that starts with a harsh letter should be coming out of your mouth in regards to Mary Cosby. There's no reason why you should, Mary, I thought we were friends, Mary. I'm sad. No, say F you, Mary, numerous times on numerous occasions. I don't get the wanting to be. And I was pissed when Jenny did like say, oh, F, you know, shut the F up, Mary, because I don't really care for her. But someone other than Jenny needs to tell Mary to STFU, because she's completely inappropriate, very ignorant as well.
I mean, Heather tried this episode.
Heather tried, but Heather didn't have that much gravitas as a person that Mary needs to be told with your pinky pointed at her and your chest up like this and you combing your hair to one side. F you, Mary. Like, she needs that. She doesn't need like, no, I need a strong F you to come out to Mary Cosby, because that's the only way she'll take it. And I just want someone to read the hell out of her so bad right now.
I think, Evan, what you said though now is like really, I really understand that what you're saying about Mary, because, you know, like people say, like, you know, they're saying that Jen is saying that Mary's a cult leader. And like, we literally saw in the B-roll of Cameron and Lisa, like him saying that he paid $300,000 for her to get those odor glands removed. Like, I forgot she had her fucking odor glands removed. Like, but like, she got a man to literally mortgage his house for her odor glands. Like, she has to have a certain level of gravitas. And, you know, like when we watch her, she's just like this kooky woman, but like to be around her must be something totally different. Or maybe just even to like know the power that she has, like within her church, like maybe that's part of it too with these women.
I also think, like, and I've never been to Utah, but if it's steeped in like Mormon culture, I'd imagine that it's very similar to Midwest culture, which is very much about like, I feel like the Midwest is a lot about community and trying to be as nice as possible. And I feel as if the reason why we haven't yet gotten to, you know, like insane reads and things like that is that there is a level of like respectability politics always going on amongst these women where they, even in their conflict, they are trying to be as nice as possible about it. And mm-hmm. I think like basically what really this episode kind of was to me was it was like they're getting to the point now where like the respectability politics are keeping them from being able to tell each other like, basically, the respectability politics kept them from being able to talk about Jen. And they saw now the consequences of that action. And now they're realizing that there are a lot of other things within the group that they have not been talking about, that they need to talk about, and they're still not able to do it, which is why Heather got up from the couch. Because they literally can't handle, they don't yet have the tools, you know, to like burst that bubble open, you know? Mm-hmm.
I love that. No, I think that's 100% true. I love that interpretation of it. I loved it.
And yeah, you're right. And Heather was like, I can't do this. Otherwise I will do the finger forward, chest out F you. And that's not who I am. How I want to be portrayed on TV. So she left. You're completely spot on with that.
Hopefully
Evan.
She bring that energy to the reunion. Cause I'm tired of Whitney and, Whitney and what's her cousin name? Whitney and Lisa.
Heather. Whitney and Heather.
Mm-hmm. I'm tired. Bad weather. I'm tired of they as getting read down by Mary Cosby almost every episode. I need them to come up with something juicy to say to her back because I'm tired of like, Mary, don't talk to me like that. Call her every name that you want to call her. And not every name. Don't go too extreme now. But Nay, don't go too far now, girls. Don't do that. But
All right.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, getting back into the episode. So, after Lisa has her little convo with Mary, which, like, she basically just threw it all on Whitney. Like, the way that she maneuvered that conversation, I felt like I was watching like a live feed update from Big Brother. Seriously, Jacob, I was like, oh my God, she would be so good at Big Brother because if you're snowed by her, like you're snowed by her, she just unfortunately gets called out. Like she's just not as smart as she thinks she is because yes. Like people can see it. And like you said, Evan, like she's so wickedly transparent, but you know, she blames it all on Whitney. And then, she says that like, she's talking about how Jen had said that, you know, she said that she was a cult leader. And Mary in her confessional says, that's why Jen is sitting where she is. And that's why I'm sitting where I am today. And I was like, and Lisa was like, it kind of sounded threatening to me.
And I
like,
love,
was
I
that a
that.
Threat?
I love that.
And
phrase.
I was like, I maybe. But anyway, so then they are all waking up in the morning. This is when it gets like so freaking weird. Like, I was like, are we in the Twilight Zone? Like, Mary walks into Jenny's room and gives her a gift as a thank you for them making up. And it cuts to the night before, like, Jenny had done her makeup and had apologized, like, full force for, you know, the tubing incident. And it seemed like they had genuinely made up. And so Mary gifted her a pair of Louboutin boots that were like $1,500. And in her confessional, she said that it was just to lighten up her luggage, that she didn't bring them specifically.
Which
for Jenny.
I did like this moment, and I thought this moment was hilarious. And I went watching them interact when they first did it, before Mary got in her confessional and then told us like the real truth of why she gave them, you know, why she gave Jenny her stuff. I was like, aw, like, this is so sweet. But I think Mary just likes people submitting to her. And yes. She wants to like, okay, you did this, so let me give you this to have you continue to do that. So you know how to act around me now. And after she said, oh, I just gave her that, I was like, you're annoying.
What did you think of?
I think, yeah, I just agree with everything that Jacob was saying. Like, it's very much like, I'm going to reward you for good behavior. And it's like, Mary's just a villain. Like, she's just a villain in like, in the best way possible. Like, I'm going around and giving out like $1,000 gifts. And like, I everything has to be on my terms. You know, she like ruins the vibe of the night before because she was in a bad mood. It's like, Mary's just like, she's a straight up villain. And what sucked was like, Jenny, who's like actually pretty genuine, like, you know, she's trying to be gracious in trying to be like friends with this woman. And basically like, Mary's just like stomping all around her. It sucks.
And Mary is a villain. And Mary's also, just to be honest, Mary's a mean girl. Like, she likes to make people feel excluded, not just have them like, you know, she like, it's even what she did with Whitney, got everyone else a gift besides Whitney. It's like, I want you to feel this way. I want you to like,
it's so funny. It's so funny because like, objectively, yes, that's so true. Like, she's a mean girl. She's a villain. But like, because she's so kooky, I like don't even know like if I could take her seriously. Like, the stuff that she's saying to Whitney, this way that she's treating Whitney, the fact that she's excluding her from gifts, like, objectively on anybody else, I would be like, screw this woman. But I honestly want to be like, Whitney girl, like, who cares? It's Mary. She's crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
you remember what she texted Whitney saying? Oh, yes. You know, literally, it's like, girl, she read you down, Whitney. And all you can say, I thought we were friends. No. I have seen them before and after pictures of Ms. Cosby.
Well, yeah, and also ahead, Mary inviting Whitney and telling her the wrong attire so she would show up looking like a hooker. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's
not
like
a hooker.
Sex worker. A sex worker. Yes. I guess by Mary's terms, it would have been what you said. If we're going by what Mary
it
described.
It would have been a sinner.
But like, also, I just can't with the way that Mary's low blows are so like, she like picks and chooses what she thinks is going to hurt each person the most. Because like, notice that the dig that she gave Heather at the end was about her drinking. Meredith was wasted the whole weekend. I did not see. And as she should be, it's a girl's trip. You planned it. You just came back from your father's funeral. Get drunk. You know what I mean? But like, the fact that she dug with that at Heather, like, knowing all of Heather's religious trauma, it's just like, so, you're right, like, so villainous. But again, like, I don't even have the like anger to muster up on behalf of these women against Mary, because I just like cannot take her seriously, you know? Like, yeah, I just she's just so kooky to me.
I think that's true. And I think that's the quote unquote charm of Mary Cosby, on why she got picked up to be a housewife when she was really supposed to be a friend. She just has a way of dumbing it down and making it seem like, oh, I'm not the bad guy. I'm just like this poor old lady. I got to inherit the church. It's just, you know, I got blessed with these things. I didn't choose it. I got to inherit it. And so I think she does have that ability to kind of go both ways. But speaking of Heather, and something that I did like in regards to her, that wasn't exactly what she was doing, but when after, you know, Jenny got the gift from Mary, Heather joined Whitney in Whitney's room, and Whitney basically was straight up with her and was like, hey, I heard you laughing in the room with Mary and Lisa, and I am so confused because we were just outside talking about this, how big ordeal and how we shouldn't be complacent, how we should call her out and just like, you know, getting the torches and the pitchforks ready for Mary Cosby's demise. And I didn't understand basically calling her fake in that moment. Like, hey, I just thought that was extremely fake of you to just be laughing and kikiing with them like hours later. And Heather explained the situation of Mary and Lisa came into Heather's room, and where Heather was like, well, Mary was like, hey, I have a gift for you. And it was a bag. It was the most. It was
$5,000 Yeah.
$5,000. And they were like kikiing. And then basically Mary was saying, I'm done with Whitney. And Heather then said that Lisa was grinning from ear to ear at every comment, kind of dissing, these women's names are so confusing to master.
Dissing Whitney. Lisa was dissing Whitney.
Dissing Whitney, mm-hmm. Yes. But I did like the fact that Heather, oh my gosh, that Whitney called out Heather in that moment and was like, yo, I'm frustrated as hell about this. Like, why are we going basically back mm-hmm. on what we just was talking about? It's fake AF. And I love that moment of Whitney. Whitney was a superstar for me this episode. I loved it. Typically she's not, but this episode she was banging on the right door.
I think, like, and Maggie and I have had many a conversation about this. Everyone always thinks that Whitney is a dumbass. Can I cuss? Am I allowed to cuss?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Everyone always thinks that Whitney is a dumbass, and I think it's because how she presents, right? Like, she's a blonde, she's gorgeous. Like, Whitney is very smart and intelligent, and I think, I'd imagine that Whitney is just done being underestimated in like any sense and form. And now she's just going in on things that she believes and knows. And I think that whole conversation with her and Heather also, it just really showed, the reason I love Heather is because she's so transparent about how imperfect she is. Mm-hmm. And when people call her out on things, she immediately takes responsibility for it and allows for herself to be flawed. And I loved that conversation because it was such a great, it was just like a good lesson in being a good friend of like, you know what? I was there and this is what happened. And it was like, this happened and I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just think Heather is never afraid to say, I'm sorry, I did that. You know, she's so cool. She's just so real.
And she said, you know, like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't, like, you're right, this is what happened. And then backed it up later in the day with that conversation. Like, and then she like showed Whitney, like, you're right, that was wrong of me. I'm not going to make that mistake again. Yeah, and I think that is like the most important thing, because words are just words, you know, but like, you're right. Heather is the type of person who like, when someone she cares about comes to her with a valid concern, she's like, okay, yeah, let me see and let me figure out what I can do. And, you know, the thing that I noted at the end of this conversation, like in my notes, I have written down that Mary really works hard to make one person the scapegoat and make them feel like shit and break them down until they are begging her to be their friend again. And I bet you that that's this kind of stuff she does at her church, where she starts to just like sort of throw, you know, negativity onto one member of the church and who she might perceive as, I mean, look, this is all hearsay. I am not, you know, but like, I can, complete speculation, but I imagine if this is how she works within a group of friends in a position of power at her church like that, like she notes who is perhaps getting more attention than her or who she's jealous of, because Whitney's got a really loving marriage. Like, look at everybody else. I mean, all of the other women, I think out of all of them, like, Whitney's husband loves her the most. She's got two young kids who still want to hang out with her. She's beautiful. You know, like, she's got a business. I think that there's a lot of things that probably trigger Mary about Whitney. And so she really just wanted to pile on until she thought that she could get her crawling back. And Whitney's over it. You know, like, she's not, you know, saying F you to Mary, but
she did.
Yeah.
Well, I think that your point is so right, Maggie, because I remember in the conversation, and maybe this is jumping ahead a little bit, but Mary telling Whitney, like, stop holding your head so high, like put your head down. basically like that. I never had even really thought about it that way. But yeah, Mary is definitely jealous of the things that Whitney has.
Mm-hmm. And like even Whitney's excuse that she couldn't pick up her phone is she's taking care of her kids. And a lot of Mary's storyline has been about the fact that like it's been her and her son against the world. And now her son doesn't want to spend any time with her anymore. You know, I think there's something there. I don't know. Maybe we'll see more of it. But so then moving on to the next part of the episode, this is when Heather and her sister Nancy get together and they're drinking mimosas.
I love Nancy so bad.
I love Heather too. They're just like, I would have loved to sit at that table. They seem so fun. Like Heather is so effortlessly funny and fun too. Like she's just got a charm about her. And so Heather's explaining to us in the confessional that Nancy left the church 30 years ago. And so they had only spoken a handful of times before Heather excommunicated. And like her sister was diagnosed with MS and nobody ever in her family ever spoke about it because she was ex-Mormon. And throughout the conversation, they were just talking and, you know, her sister is saying that they realize we're just jealous of each other, you know, like that each other's paths. And it just shows you that the grass is always greener. And I think that they're like, I just really love this for the context of, you know, so much of Heather's journey on the show has been about being an ex-Mormon and really embracing what life outside of Mormonism can be for her as a woman. And I just thought that this was really beautiful. And so I'm so glad that we got to watch this.
Yeah, I think it's just really important because oftentimes like, you know, there will be rumors about like, oh, Mormonism is a cult or whatever. And I think, you know, when we move past conversations about maybe like the weird things, like the magic underwear and like all of that stuff, what really, this touched on what really makes Mormonism a cult, which is basically like the value on family is so strong and powerful that if you leave the church, you're being not just taken away from the church, but also from your family. And so we're seeing like the ways in which the church uses its own tools to keep people like trapped in the life that they live in. Because it's like, you're watching and you're like, well, I kind of know why Heather stuck around, even if it wasn't good for her. She would have lost her family, her relationship with her father. I mean, there all these things were sort of controlling their life. And it's amazing. I could literally like gush about Heather all day long. It's the fact that she was able to sit at a dinner and be like, these are all the like fucked up things I did during our relationship. And like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And she's done enough work on it that she's not trying to get Nancy to pity her in any way. Mm-hmm. She's done enough. She can just take full responsibility of it. And it's just, I don't know. It's really beautiful. It's kind of like a lesson, like if you really like know yourself and know your flaws, like people really can't touch you if you're open about them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very true. I what I just have written down is you could just tell like the love was there, even though they haven't really spoken in 20 odd years. And it was just like a very loving scene. And the previews of it, I thought the conversation was going to be very tense mm-hmm. and very like combative, but it was just like two sisters wanting a relationship. And I love the end part of what Nancy said was, hey, can we start this right now? Because this is important to me. And I just like, it got me in my feels, just seeing that love that they still have for each other and seeing Heather wanting to right her wrongs and just to have a much more loving relationship with her family and people that she did wrong. And so I love it.
And, you know, even like, Evan, what you were saying about how Heather's being so open, like she's in confessional these past couple weeks talking about all of the things that she's so humiliated that she did when she was a Mormon. Like she didn't even go to her sister's wedding, or like she did and she refused to wear a strapless dress. And like it's all of these things that she's saying with like an absolute air of mortification, but like just owning them and saying, you know, like, I wish that I could change it, but I can't. And if I'm going to have a relationship with her, like she needs to know that I am aware that I did all of this stuff and I'm not proud of it, you know? And even at the end, like like, you can tell that their parents must have been very funny because both of them are really funny. Like, they're clearly, they get their sense of humor from somewhere, because her sister at the very end is like, I'm really serious. You have to stop drinking Tito's and water and lime. It's disgusting.
I love that. Disgusting. I loved it. That is, actually really is disgusting. I'm so glad.
It is. What is she doing? At least get some bubbles in there. Tito's and water? Heather.
Yikes.
So then we get back to the house, and this is where it all goes down. They're all packing to go, and they're talking about how Meredith got them a jet home. And, Lisa is talking about what happened the night before. And she has the audacity to say to Meredith, oh, you know, like, I was just walking by and Mary's door was open last night. So, you know, it just gave me the opportunity. I went in and I asked her some direct questions, and we cleared it up. And Lisa has such little sister vibes when it comes to Meredith. Like, Lisa wants Meredith to think she's the coolest girl in school.
Very much so.
She really, so like, I think that that's the whole reason that she went down and talked to Mary, was because of Meredith, because Meredith didn't give her the approval in that conversation. And she was like, oh crap, I gotta go make this right so that like Meredith will see that I'm on her side and like I'm with her. And that's when Meredith opens up that like, she just really doesn't want to be the one talking shit, because when people were spreading the rumors of her and Seth, the only two people who didn't were Lisa and Mary. And she does not want to be involved in something like that when it comes to somebody else, because I think that like traumatized her, like to be on the national stage for Meredith and have people like talking crap about her marriage that she probably, you know, like was very private about in life. And then suddenly she's on the show and everybody's insinuating that she's having an affair. Like, I think for Meredith, who like very much values like the way that she carries herself, like I said, how she holds herself sort of like above it all. She's the ice queen. Like, she doesn't get involved in this petty stuff. For people to be like insinuating crap about her marriage, I think like really, really affected her.
I think so too. I think, I mean, you can tell Meredith is not the most openest person. And we've seen only a sliver of her life. I feel like she's been more open this season just because I feel like she had to with her storyline of her son and X, Y, and Z, and her getting her marriage back together. But you can just tell that Meredith has the approach of, what's in my household is going to be in my household. We're not going to talk about it to the outside people. And so being on a national show for your first time is very shocking. And I think, yeah, I think absolutely that traumatized her. And I think it spoke, you know, amongst the quote unquote fear that she may or may not have towards Mary not engaging in that behavior, or in the gossiping of, you know, her situation meant a lot to her as well. And so, you know, I it was cute, but
Meredith is really frustrating. In fact, I found Meredith to be probably the most frustrating part of the episode, because and ultimately, she had the power to give credibility where it needed to be given and to take some responsibility over what happened. And all she cared about was making up with Mary. And did I say Meredith? Yeah. Oh, my God. You're so right. These names are so confusing. in that conversation that all the women were having, Meredith really could have sided on with Heather and Whitney. And I think it really would have turned the tide of how things went, because Mary takes Meredith, I think, a lot more seriously than she does the other women. And so it was frustrating that Meredith is the one who stirred this entire pot up, because she was the bone carrier. You know what I mean? Like, Lisa wasn't out here. I mean, yes, she was putting the two together, but it was really Meredith who was bringing all this stuff together. She put it all out and then tried to take it back, and then didn't back up anything that was happening. I think, yeah, Meredith is like, she was kind of like a snake in this episode. I was like, oh, yikes.
I have completely different opinions on Meredith this episode. I get how she did, you know, collect the bone and then, you know, did drop it off to good old Whitney with the camera situation. But I feel like her owning up to it and being like, hey, I apologize for saying that because I should not have, because I know how it feels to have things gossip about your life and, you know, X, Y, and Z. I like that. I thought she was, in a sense, backing her, what the stance that she took was, I should not have done this, and I will not do this again. And I'm going to openly apologize for doing this to Whitney. I'm sorry for telling you this, and to Mary for basically disrespecting you and giving you that information as well. And so, I mean, Meredith typically doesn't give us a lot other than a hard face with a monotone voice and just, you know, and sometimes infliction.
Talking out of the side of her mouth.
Yes. And the fact that she loves her kids and doesn't want anyone talking about her kids. But
her children, not her kids, her children.
Yeah, her children.
Which she did go on. Sorry, she just to bring it all together. She did go on Twitter and say, yes, I am aware that my children are adults, but they're still my children. Because I guess people were like, they're grown adults to her online.
I always had that stance. I'm like, yo, she can be as protective as she wants to with her children because they're her children. It doesn't matter if they're 25, 30. I know my mom will still over her kids. So, and we all above the age of 24. So I wouldn't try it over here. And I guess you wouldn't want to try it over where Meredith stay either. But when they were in this big thing, she did, I think her main focal point was one, wanting to be cool with Mary and wanting that thing to be like, okay, I'm owning up to you. Can we be done with this? I feel bad. And the way Mary was looking at her during this is when they now moved over to the couch. Mary was like, thank you. Thank you. I was like, Mary, like, this is like, I felt as though it was a very authoritative thank you, but also a very like genuine and heartfelt like thank you. Like, I feel like that's the most emotional. She did cry later on, but I don't really view Mary tears of Whitney. She's crying about Whitney and Heather. I don't consider those to be real. I feel like her response to Mary, like, thank you. Like, I just feel like it was a very like authentic kind of thing. And so I liked it. But Meredith, I do agree with you. Meredith's focal point was wanting to clear the air and wanting to get her name out of it and wanting to basically amend things with Mary. Even though I don't think anything was messed up, I just think she wanted to clear her name out of the Mary eyesight, which, hey, Mary, don't blow my shit up. I'm good over here. Mm-hmm. I went to your church the first season. You remember that? I haven't said anything bad. Yeah, she wanted that.
And I also loved it, though, as Meredith is doing all this talking, we get that shady confessional from Jenny where she's like, she doesn't want anyone talking behind people's backs. And yet she hired a private investigator against one of her friends.
One of her friends? The thing
against
is,
Jen, you know?
That's what, when Jenny has said this before, even when Meredith first dropped the bomb that she hired a PI, and Jenny, I'm going to try to take my disdain for Jenny out of what I'm about to say. I don't think I can, actually. Jenny, I never really considered Jen and Meredith. Like, I mean, yeah, Jen threw a birthday party for her, but I feel like Jen wanted to showcase her money, showcase her party planning skills. You know, like, who knows? But I never view Jen and Meredith, call me crazy, shoot me in the back, as friends. I never, this is my good sis over here. I'm going to go to bat for her. And so, I'm going to hire a private investigator if I think you do some sketchy shit. Absolutely. I don't know you like that, homegirl. I don't know you from Adam and Eve. And so, yes, I'm going to call someone to research your ass because I feel like something shicey is going on. And anytime Jenny says, oh, yeah, you, I get so pissed off. And like, Jenny, be quiet. It's because I don't like her as well. But it's also because, like, yo, I don't think these girls were best friends. If she hired a PI and spent her own money to figure out what Jen shicey ass is doing, by all means.
I think Jenny is in a weird position.
Very weird.
Right now, because she was not involved in season one and she doesn't know these women. Like, and I think they started filming like pretty quickly after season one ended. So like, she doesn't have a lot of the context for a lot of this. So honestly, she's talking about a lot of stuff that she doesn't really understand. Like, I don't think that the Jen stuff affected her that much because like, she's not friends with Jen. Like, she's like, I barely know this woman. I've hung out with her three times total. Like, yeah. Of course. And like, everybody is freaking out, but like, hold on. She just got charged. Like, we don't know what fully happened, but like, for all the other women, like they all, she knows their family. Like, she's been to their homes. Like, she is their friend for better or for worse, you know, or like, she's at least like a strong part of their life. So Jenny is like saying a lot of, I think, things that like, if you take all emotional context out of the situation, are correct and make sense. But when you add the emotional weight of it, like, she just, and that's why you're saying, Jacob, like, but yeah, Meredith and Jen were never friends. They had all of these issues. But like Jenny is someone just like coming in, not really knowing much, would be like, I thought that you guys were like really great friends. Like, isn't that true?
It's like seeing the group as a whole, like all these women. Oh, yeah. Y'all willingly hang out with each other. Y'all go mm-hmm. to trips together. Y'all have to be friends. It's the difference between, especially on Housewives, you know, being obligated to, you know, film with someone and being willing to film with them and having, you know, your call. She's saying, hey, you got to film X, Y, and Z this many times. And hopefully, you know, I mean, she knew this after she did the confessional. Jenny, don't come back, please. I'm begging you. I will start a GoFundMe to get close to the amount that you get paid if you just don't sign that dotted line for season 3. I don't think they will give you a contract, and I'm hoping they don't, but don't come back. We don't need your storyline. I think it's contrived. The girl on TikTok said it ain't true.
We move. I think we should give Jenny another chance, nah. Maybe one more season. I think that Jenny has the like unfortunate misfortune of having her in be Lisa. And I say that because Lisa really only right now, her goal is like get power and get control. So Lisa has Jenny. So there's no reason for her to invest in Jenny this season, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. Can you imagine if it were Whitney, Heather, or even, honestly, even Mary, who had brought Jenny into this, I feel like there would be more work being done to get Jenny into the fold. But for Lisa, it really isn't like, it's not of the utmost importance for Jenny to get mm-hmm. in. And so basically, like, I think Jenny just has to like,
yes, start, Evan,
like rocking shit up. Do you know what I mean?
Because I mean, Evan, she's Jenny is the not glass, acting. Not there. She's
throwing
she's
a glass
acting
at someone in the previews for the continuous season. So she want to shake some shit up.
I hope.
But okay, Evan, you're so right, because she's not acting like a housewife. She's acting like a friend of Lisa Barlow.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's why she's driving you absolutely batshit, Jacob, because she's acting like a friend of Lisa Barlow and you can't with Lisa Barlow.
Probably so. You got me. You got me. They should have saved their money and just gave her a friend of. They should have just saved their money, because you don't have an iconic tagline. Your story is very late and very dried up. It hasn't even been a focal point.
Her husband
now.
Is horrible. He's the worst. Horrible. Her husband is the worst man on the show, and we include Jen Shaw in that.
And I bet. Wait, was Maggie. Maggie. Wait, Evan, you heard that?
What did I say?
I'm gonna repeat it. You said Jenny's husband is the worst on the show, and that's including Jen Shaw. Like you call it.
I meant the worst person on the show. No, I would never ever say that. I would never say that.
That's why I was like, wait, hold on.
Oh my
hold
gosh.
On, hold on. Now let's
no,
not shake the table.
I would never ever say that. No, I just meant that
I saw Jacob C and I was like, oh hell.
No, I think I did say that he's the worst man on the show, but I meant worst person on the show, and I'm including Jen, because I actually have like been low-key forgetting about Jen a little bit here when we talk about the group discussions, because I've just been like mentally preparing that she's not going to be on the show next season because she's going to be in jail. But no, I never would mean that.
I mean, Jen didn't get paid for this episode.
Tough for her.
But so after so we talked about Lisa Barlow, and I want to talk about her contribution to this. I was seeing if that's the right word, to this whole conversation. Mm-hmm. And things started to really get on fire when Whitney and Mary kind of got into it, and Mary was like, well, Whitney said, why are you looking at me? When Mary was saying people were speaking on my church. And this is after the fact that Meredith was apologizing for contributing to the conversation of talking mm-hmm. about Cameron and talking about the wickedness of Mary's church, allegedly. And I do love this. So Whitney then says, oh, well, Lisa, basically, she started this. She told us that, you know, X, Y, and Z about Cameron. She started this whole thing, and then she wants to go downstairs. And Lisa Barlow was like, wait, hold on. Excuse me. What are we doing now? Like, that moment where Lisa knew that her shit was getting rocked. Maggie, I lived. Evan, I thrived. Because she knew. She was like, wait, what are we doing now? I'm so, like, she didn't.
And she fluttered, her fake eyelashes. She really did. Like, I, you're right. I watched her be like, excuse me, Whitney.
Get into it.
Think the best of me, not the worst, or I will think the worst of you, and you won't like that.
That sounds like a threat.
Oh my gosh. She was
crazy. But
that's the thing. Like, Whitney just had her number. Like, Whitney just laid it out. And Lisa was like, why do you think the worst of me? And it's like, but that's what you're doing. Like, Whitney just has your number. And if we're doing this in Big Brother terms, like, Lisa's the outgoing HOH. Whitney wins the new HOH. And she's putting Lisa's ass up on the block.
Oh, period. Without hesitation. And I do have literally Whitney has Lisa clocked. And do you know that phrase that Meredith said when they went ice fishing? Jen Shaw, the flex.
I can't deal with the deflecting, projecting, and lying anymore. Mm-hmm.
Lisa took that deflecting and was like, oh, I'm taking this bag with me because I need help right now. Jesus, like, somebody help me. And I just like that Whitney did not take her foot off of Lisa Barlow's neck during that entire situation. I loved it. And Lisa, it is your fault. And don't be trying to say, how did this get turned into me? And that is when she said, Cameron, he can't. Are you mad at me? Because he was on the board of the whoop-de-doo. Yes. And then you're going to film a scene with him. And I bet because the girls didn't even know that she filmed the scene. So that was her alibi. Oh, he's on a board. He can come. But the girls did not know. And now the fact that they know that Lisa Barlow got Cameron.
She's in so much trouble at this reunion. Yeah. She's screwed at the reunion. Like, everybody is going to be like, screw. I wonder even if Mary is going to be like, how dare you?
I mean, Mary has, they've gotten into it on Twitter. They've gotten into it on Twitter recently.
Two weeks ago,
Lisa and Mary, they got into it. I have written down on my notes. So this whole cast, as I said on this podcast, Evan, you probably don't know, I've been having a hard time, like, really rooting for one housewife this entire season or this entire franchise, because it's super early and no one has really earned my stand card yet. But I did write down someone who did earn my stand card with the basically not giving an F, and I wish they would give even less of an F, would actually tell people to F off. But I was like, okay, we're working up there. We got some muscle on your back, and we come in guns a-blazing. Whitney is earning my stand card of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because even in the minuscule ways, and even though I would have loved a middle finger up to Mary, even though I would have loved to fuck you, Mary, even though I would have loved you going over and maybe even dousing Lisa Barlow in champagne, who knows? Have fun. Have a good day. You didn't do that, but you still had that energy of, oh, I'm not to be fucked with now. And mm-hmm. the fact that during this whole deliberation, Mary then again turned to Whitney and basically started to target her ass again. And Heather piped up and was like, why are you being like this to Whitney? Why are you talking like this to her? And then what did Mary say? Oh, you don't say that. You be quiet or something like that. And then Heather was like, what? And then they started to get into it.
And then Heather,
bad weather, tornado, spin the truth. And I love every minute of it.
And Heather, when Heather said, oh, well, Lisa, you sure came in smiling like a Cheshire cat that she doesn't like Whitney. I was like, oh, shit.
That tag team, I lived, because like these are women that we've seen have a much more fearful approach to Mary, really get into it with Lisa, but still Lisa walks over them in multiple aspects. But to see them kind of have that edge and say, hey, I know the truth, and the audience seeing that, and we've seen, like, in that moment, I don't get how you cannot be rooting for Whitney and Heather. And I haven't been the biggest fan because I feel like, okay, like, Heather, I need more storyline other than your child going to college. But like, you gave me something to root for, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank y'all for that. Bad weather, spin the truth, F these hoes up, and you did that. And I lived.
And because she says that stuff to Mary, Mary starts doing these low blows. I wrote them down. I wrote down what Mary said. I wrote down what Mary said, and I wrote down what Heather said in her confessional, because when she stepped up in that confessional in that Givenchy little scarf that she's wearing, she came for Mary. So Mary said, you know, like, well, Mary said to Heather, like, someone's always driving you home. insinuating that Heather is always drunk. So Heather says in her confessional, "Mary, I've overlooked the fact that you're married to your step-granddaddy, that you're horrible to so many people, and you're going to pin me up to the cross that I have to be loaded whenever I have to interact with you?" Heather.
Shots fired.
Mm-hmm.
I lived. Brilliant. I lived. And this is what I'm just thankful. I'm like, I've been giving so much and to finally be able to receive. It's literally, I don't know if Mary Cosby, you know, called on Jesus to, you know, come and get me together, come and get this show together, but it definitely, like, these women definitely earned their checks this episode. Jenny, I'm not going to drag you, Jenny. I did it enough. So I was going to throw one more drag at her, but I was like, nah, let me leave her alone for a little bit. Everyone earned their check, besides Jen, because she wasn't even on the episode. But everyone earned their check this episode, and I loved it. And then after that, you know, they got into the fight, Heather gets up, and Lisa is still deflecting and projecting, and she made a comment saying, me and Mary talked about everything. I didn't really say anything. And basically, Whitney said, I mean, Heather, these names of the blondes, the brunettes, confused. And then Whitney, Heather says, she told us that Cameron mortgaged his home and to give you $300,000. And then
she said, Jacob, I wrote it down. It was hilarious how she said it. So yes. I wrote it down. She said, it is not okay. She told us that your best friend sold his house because he was under Mary's spell.
And then Lisa be like, I did not say that. And like, Lisa, we know what you meant.
I did not say that, Mary. I did not say that.
Mary about to whoop that ass.
And like, even like Lisa in the, sorry, go ahead, Evan.
I absolutely love that, like, we finally got like Preacher Mary outside of her church. Like, all of a sudden, like, as soon as she was like really under attack, she was like, yes. I don't think I'm God. I worship a God. It's like Martin Luther King, like, shake.
Oh,
and
it was,
it was all
of the ancestors channeling. It was like, when she, that line, it was iconic for me. And she had her fist whipping, she had her arms snapping. I'm not God. I worship the God. Oh, honestly, Evan, that was such a good point because we really don't really see the. When she said that, I got chills when she said that. Honestly, I really got chills because she said that with such veracity and such, like, it was. Damn, Mary. Damn.
She said it like somebody who's been lying. Okay, she said it like somebody who has been lying to a lot of people for a long time, and she really needed to make sure that her shit was covered up.
I was the guy in me, the one who knew it. Yes, it was.
She was backed into a corner on that one. She prayed it because she was lying.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Funny moment, man. Was she, because so Heather and Lisa. Oh gosh, Carla, God, help me with these names, Lord Jesus. Whitney and Heather. Heather storms off, and then Whitney goes to find her. And I love this scene when they're in the restroom. No, the cameras weren't there, but they were mic'd up. And Whitney was like, "What do you need?" And Heather was like, "Nothing. Just let's get the F out of here." And I just loved how Whitney was like, "Okay, let's do it." It's like very, we're a team. I got you. You're my cousin. You're my sister.
No, they're ride or die forever.
I love that. And they both come out with like red eyes, red cheeks. And just like, you can tell that they were crying. And once they're starting to pack up their stuff, Mary then, you know, after Mary has given that perfectly executed sermon, that's, she then goes downstairs to talk to Heather and says like, "Oh, it really offends me that you're not going to stay," or something like that. And I'm so glad that Heather basically gave no F's and was like, and when Mary was saying, "I'm hurt by what you said. I'm hurt that you partook in those conversations. I'm hurt that you don't even want to sit down there and talk to us. You want to leave." And then Heather says, "I'm sorry I hurt you." And with the blandest face,
But that's how you know, Jacob, that is how you know that woman has been traumatized.
Yes.
She has been around so many people like Mary Cosby. Mm-hmm. She is, you can tell that there is some, like, she has been around enough people who have done enough crap to her that she knew, she just, blank eyes, "I'm sorry that I hurt you."
And then Mary said, "You're a liar." "No, you're not.
You're You're a liar and you're weird. And I want my purse back. That's basically what she said.
I thought she was going to snag the purse. I thought she was.
Well, and then she goes upstairs, and this is when the dark part of the episode happens with Mary, and she's getting emotional, and Lisa gets emotional with her. And literally when Lisa started to cry, I was like, all right, like, shut up, Lisa. What are you? But she said that the fact that they're sitting around comparing her to Jen is devastating her, because when she looks at Jen, I wrote it down. Mm. When I look at Jen, I see a thug, you know, like those Mexican people who sell drugs.
Mary, go. Ooh. Mary, I'm about to say go to, I'm sorry, I'm not say go to hell. I was about to say that. That was disgusting. Like, first off,
it's disgusting.
As a black woman, and Mary has made very questionable remarks even the first season. And so it didn't throw me that off. I was just like, that this, because this was her natural emotion of being irate, of being pissed. And this was like, this was her. And for her to say, like, just use the reference of thugs, and especially in the climate that the world is in. And I honestly feel like Mary is in a bubble. So I don't think she has to know, but I don't think she partakes in a lot of conversations. And just to hear her say the word thug in reference to another person of color, that's, y'all are the only two. You call Jen a scammer. Call Jen X, Y, and Z. There's so many terms you can call her other than a thief. Oh, look at that. Won't he do it? Won't he do it, God? A thief. There's so many other adjectives to use. You can use to describe Jen Shaw. But like, you use the word as a thug, and then you say, oh, what, you know, what did she say about the Mexicans? Like the Mexicans that,
you know, like those Mexican people who sell drugs. That's what she
disgusting.
Said.
Very disgusting. Mm-hmm. Mary, you were funny. You were cute for the cuckoo for the longest. Now you're disturbing. And yeah, I won't have anything nice to say about you till you do have that one funny scene coming up where you say, oh, Jen, I hope you're guilty. Oh, mean innocent. But that is... honestly, to Mary, and I'm talking directly to you, sister. You're no longer the cute older lady, the cuckoo. You are very disturbing and you're ignorant. And I'm no longer going to be able to kiki ha ha at many things that you do. And yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Evan?
I mean, I don't know. Mary's been this way always. Like, she said at the last reunion that she doesn't date like dark men, which,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, I've always sort of just taken her, like, we're talking about like her person. I just always sort of taken her, she's the salt of the earth, as you often say, Maggie. She's one of those types of people. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, my favorite part about this episode is that like we see Mary using her like religious and like faith, like influence as a weapon, which is mm-hmm. like, it just so ties into like, oh yeah, this person clearly is involved in something that is wrong. And then mm-hmm. it is so telling that the only two women who are willing to go up against her are two women who have fought to get out of faith-based,
say it again,
like, violence. You know what I mean?
Wow. Like, Evan, the only two women in the room, yes,
who are willing to stand up to it are two people who have already fought their way out of one situation and are not willing to go through it again.
That's what they said. Yeah.
She said, I left the Mormon church. I do not follow blindly after that. And obviously, these are things that all of the women and no, but because of Heather and Whitney's past, they cannot afford to follow behind it to the point where they won't get on a plane with this one.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That is such an amazing point, Evan. That's why I'm so, so glad that you're here, because you have perspective that Jacob and I just don't. Like, you just understand Whitney and Heather in a way, I think, that is so unique to your experience, that like, that is something that I didn't even really fully clock. But to hear it articulated like that is so, so true. And yeah, I mean, wow. Yeah. And they didn't get on the plane. So that's how the episode ends. They go, you know, wherever they're looking at flights. And the last quote of the episode is Lisa saying, if Whitney and Heather had just shut their mouths for 5 seconds and heard what Mary and I had to say, they wouldn't be flying commercial and taking their shoes off through security.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny, Lisa.
Lisa Marlowe, come on.
I love Lisa.
She is horrible in the best way.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's not horrible like Mary, who's like horrible and just horrible. But and she's not horrible like Jen, who's like horrible and also like a thief and like black of heart. But like, she's just like so fake. Lisa Marlowe is just like the fakest of the fake and just so insecure. I think that that's the thing. Like, she tries to act like she's so above everybody. And she's like, well, Whitney, you're insecure if you think, you know, this. But like, she's so insecure that she picked out Whitney from the very beginning. She picked out her innocence. She picked out her naivete. She saw her big doe eyes, thought she was this little deer in headlights, thought that she was going to be able to do whatever she wanted to her. And Whitney has proven to not be that girl.
Yeah,
but yeah,
we love that. And yeah, I don't think Lisa Marlowe is evil. I just think she knows she's on the show, tries to execute, but I don't think she's actually about that life when it actually comes down to like the actual action of the situation. And that's why she cowers away a lot of times, or like hides her hand or plays victim, because she's not probably used to this. But I think she likes to do it, but I just don't think she, you know, she's like, oh my God, she's thriving. I think it's for the show, and she knows it's for the show, but I just wish she would own up, and then I would give my stand card to someone else. So yeah, it was a great episode.
It was such a great episode. Do you have any more thoughts, Evan, on the season as a whole, just like overall, anything that you want to talk about?
I don't know if they'll ever like talk about it, but I truly believe that like the Lisa versus like Whitney Heather thing is so much about the church in a way that I don't even think they recognize. Mm-hmm. Like, basically Whitney and Heather were born into it and had no choice. And Lisa is a convert who like made a decision at an adult age. She was given a choice and has made the decision to do it. And for Lisa, it not only works for her, but she thrives in it. Yeah. Whereas it was the source of a lot of pain for Heather and Whitney. And you'll always hear Whitney talking about like, she thinks she's better, because I'm sure there is probably a part of her thinking this woman chose it and is making it work for her and it's not hurting her life. Do you know what I mean?
Dang.
And I think there's always going to be tension there as long as Lisa is a member of the church, because one of them was given a choice and the other two of them were not given a choice, and just the difference in what they've been able to do with their lives because of that, if that makes any sense.
That's a dope point. I love that.
It makes amazing sense. And that's something I literally have never thought of, that might be a pain point for them. And I also wonder if you're right, the idea that you're like, that they're like, this woman thinks she's better than us because she gets to thrive in this environment.
Yes.
And the idea that, wow, I've just literally never thought of that at all. Because Lisa is not Mormon to me. Like, Lisa is like such a fake Mormon to me. Like, and this is feels actually like maybe inappropriate to say, maybe I shouldn't be saying this on a public forum, but like, Lisa drinks, like she owns a tequila company, like all of the like very serious rules of Mormonism that like I know of from you and from watching the show and just like learning about Mormonism in general. Like, Lisa doesn't seem to follow a single one of them. So I'm always like, oh God, I forget that she's even Mormon. Like, she's running around in tank tops all the time. Like, she's wearing, you know, whatever she wants. She's drinking whatever she wants, doing whatever she wants. Like, so what is it about Mormonism that like makes her, but that draws her in, but also she feels like she doesn't have to follow any of the rules? What do you think, Evan, about that?
Like, she said it. She was like, she loves the idea of always making herself better. And in the church, you're always trying to be more and more perfect, which is ultimately what was crumbling for Heather and Whitney. Always trying to appear and be perfect. Whereas for Lisa, that is how she wants to live her life. And because she's not born in the culture, she's not of it, she gets to pick and choose and feels comfortable doing so, how she's going to live that type of lifestyle. But at the same time, she gets to go into church every Sunday and say, I know that I'm dedicating myself to becoming better every day. You know what I mean?
And she doesn't have parents who are like shaming her for the decisions. It's completely autonomous to her. So she's able to enjoy the fruits of the church in terms of self-confidence and becoming more and more perfect without any of the pressure, because she has no outside pressure because she's the only one in her family to do it. And she's oh my gosh, I've literally never thought of this point. This is they're brilliant.
They're rivals because, you know, the other two women were prisoners in it and the other person couldn't be thriving more in it.
Wow. Literal mic drop. I'm like,
period.
No, I'm so glad we had you come on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having
for
me.
For all of this, like, it's been so eye opening too. Like, your tastes are so so well rounded and so like there's so much context there that like I just simply don't have as somebody who doesn't really understand the culture around all of it. Okay, so do you think, both of you, we got a court date for Jen. Oh, should we switch transition over to tea time, Jacob? Okay.
Yeah.
It's tea time, everybody.
Okay.
So we have a court date for Jen Shaw. Mm-hmm. It's happening in March.
Yes.
We know that Stewart has pled guilty. Which I am assuming is so that he can testify against Jen and
absolutely,
get off,
probably,
you know, for lower time. But I also listened to this podcast this week. A friend of the pod, Randy Neupel, sent me a Twitter DM and asked me if I had ever listened to the podcast Bitch Sesh. It's a Housewives podcast. And he said, if not, you really need to listen to the first 20 minutes of the latest episode called The Shaw Shocker for some interesting behind the scenes info on the Jen Shaw situation. So I innocently turn on the Bitch Sesh podcast and they have the Uber driver from the night that Jen went from Heather's house and disappeared, canceled the Uber ride. They had the Uber driver on for the first 20 minutes to talk about it. They called him Manon and he sent them photos of Heather for proof, because when he pulled up, he was a big fan and took a selfie with Heather. And he told them that Jen got into the car drunk. When he started to explain to Jen that he was a fan and Jen realized that he was a fan, she asked him if he could pretend to be one of his assistants and call Coach Shaw and tell him that she was going to be late at Heather's. She got too drunk and she was going to stay the night at Heather's house. The Uber driver refused. So he said, I'm not going to call your husband. She said, okay, well, cancel the Uber ride. I need you to take me somewhere else. You're not taking me home. He canceled the Uber ride for her. She did not have any, he said that she didn't have any car apps on her phone. So she gave him the address of where he needed to go, Venmo'd him $100. He dropped her off at the location. It was like outside of this apartment complex or condominium complex. It was gated. He dropped her off. She said, okay, can I get your phone number? I'll call you back in 3 hours. I'm going to need a ride home. And he said, okay. So he went home, fell asleep. She called him like 2:30 in the morning. He went back to the complex, picked her up at the gate, drove her home. She Venmo'd him another $100.
What?
Yeah, she was up to some things. She was up to some things for sure.
Isn't that wild? If you want to hear it for yourself, he goes into way more detail. It's the Bitch Sesh Pod, and it's called The Shaw Shocker is the name of it. But he said that, like, all his friends are texting him, watching the episode. They're bringing up the Uber driver. They're like, he's like, call me, Heather, call me. I'll tell you everything I know. Like, I want to be, like, I will tell you whatever I know. But yeah, no, she was absolutely sleeping with somebody else. I mean, I feel like you can say that without a doubt. To go over to somebody's house at 11:30 at night, get picked up at 3 a.m., ask the driver to call your husband and lie to him? Come on.
Oh,
she was definitely up to some things.
She was allegedly.
Yes. Evan is a strong listener of the pod. He knows about our allegedly.
Don't get caught up now.
No. Become get a cease and desist.
But yeah, there was a lot on Twitter after the episode of Lisa going at it with people, defending herself. A lot of Meredith trying to defend herself and her children thing about and saying, yes, I know that they're not actual children, but they're my children, you know, all of that. But yeah, and then we got the epic trailer. What do you think about the trailer? Yeah, me too.
I think we're in for an exciting rest of the season. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Evan, so much for joining us today. This has been so amazing to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun. And it was like the best episode to talk about. So,
no, yeah, it really was. You.
Seriously, it was great. So
I remember Maggie, she like, even when we started, before we did episode one, Maggie was saying that we need to have you on. And I'm so glad we did. So thanks for coming on.
Aww, well, now that we know we have 13 more episodes of the season, you have to come back.
No, literally.
Yeah, like, sure.
It's a 26 episode season. You have to come back. I thought that it was going to be 15 episodes. When this like second half trailer dropped, I was like, oh my God, we're getting more. Like we're getting a whole nother season. Basically, this is amazing. So Evan, can you let people know where they can find you? Maybe if there is anywhere, this is just what we usually ask people.
Yeah, I don't currently have social media at the moment, but when I do, you can find me on Instagram at 3venduff. So it's like Evan Duff, but the E is a 3. But yeah,
if anybody, you know, like wants to say anything like kind about Evan, if you tweet at me, I'll screenshot it and send it to him. So you can find him through my social medias, which I am at MLMorgan_ on Twitter and or on Instagram and TikTok, and at _MLMorgan on Twitter. You can find me there. Jacob, where can people find you?
People can find me at JacobJ_Jones on all social medias. And yeah, just follow me there. Contact me, DM me. Actually, since we weren't on last week, it was a very like, some people were like tweeting me and, RHAP. I don't know why I want to say RHOP. RHAP out of context, which is at RHAPOOC. They were like tweeting saying, "Where's the podcast?" I was like, "Oh, no episode aired today." So it was very cute. Just like, y'all were waiting for it. I love it. And so thanks for all the support that we get from the podcast. We appreciate everyone that listens and everyone that tweets us and sends us very kind messages and just statements about the show to help us do, you know, a good job podcasting. So thank y'all so much.
Yeah, and I just want to bring it back to, if you are not a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, this is a great time to become one. We're at the start of the month. If you join the patron group, you get access to a ton of extra content and Facebook pages. And you also, like, it's the reason that they're able to do things on the our HapUp network, which is where our show lives. So check it out if you haven't. Yeah, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.